Please rise. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he, Jesus, said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the word given to us this morning, the words of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was not Jesus, but it was them who lacked authority. Not he, but they. They were revered by men. Jesus is no respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. His authority knows no limits. They had no authority over him. Yet they commanded, actually they demanded, an answer of him. Jesus gives no answer, since he's not accountable to them. Rather, he responds to their question with a question. Some may say that he's trying to avoid their answer or giving them an answer. All Jesus is doing is turning the tables. He asks them a question, and they discuss his question. Actually, they plot it. And the answer that they give is actually no answer at all, since it actually is an answer of silence. We do not know. That's like asking your child what happened to all the chocolate that was there on your table as the chocolate is smeared all over their face and all over their hands. And you say, "What happened to all the chocolate?" And they say, "I don't know." Same. It's a lie. They do not know the Scriptures. That's what they don't know. Nor do they honor or respect the authority of God. They fear men more than they fear God. Consider this, my brother and sister. The chief priests and the elders were not worthy of an answer, if you stop to think of it. Their Messiah is not about to cast his pearls before swine. The gospel is free, free indeed, and it is of the greatest value. And although Jesus would publicly and clearly confess the answer to their question, their stiff necks and their stony hearts prevented them from receiving and even believing what Jesus has already proven to them, what he has already said to them, "Before Abraham was, I am." Now our Lord could have answered them, maybe should have answered them, as he did Job, as he should answer some of us. "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations attached? Or who laid its cornerstone?" They had Job. They even taught Job. But they didn't actually know the Scriptures whatsoever. They could not see that Job's Lord was actually standing before them. The deceit, the pride, the rank unbelief of these chief priests and elders prevented them from receiving the Word of God. So the Word of God remained closed to them. And so, heaven. That's why the Lord says to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." The Messiah had certainly baffled the chief priests and the elders that he is not a Christ, that they wanted to mold or to shape or to be whom they wanted him to be. They wanted him to kick out their enemies, the Romans and whoever else it was. But that's not the kind of Messiah that he is. The world seeks a Savior today that will tell them, oh, that you're a pretty good person, that you're not really that bad. If you just work hard enough, if you just try hard enough, if you just try to self-improve, to medicate yourself, in other words, and to give all the money that you can, then maybe, just maybe, you can make yourself acceptable to a holy and just God. Good luck, because you'll need it, because that's not how it works. Jesus does not say by bringing to you a self-improvement plan. Rather, he slays and puts to death and makes new again, gives newness of life. He destroys and creates anew. To do so, he who alone is worthy died and rose on the third day. He was cut off from his Father in heaven. He was the one who was forsaken, stricken, smitten, crucified for you, for me. The question that Jesus asked his Father there on the cross, in his deep agony, also went unanswered. My God, why have you forsaken me? The Messiah, Jesus, is the one whom John the Baptizer preached and prepared the way for. It is he who died for John's sins. It is God's Son who died for your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world. He died not to help you to self-improve, but to do for what you and what I could never ever do for ourselves, atone for our sins, so you can now stand, because of what Jesus has done for you, you can now stand before your Father and look Him face to face and live. By what authority did Jesus do these things? Well, it's interesting that we should understand that the Sanhedrin, the chief priest, and the elders are asking Jesus, by what authority do you have to come in on Sunday, Palm Sunday, riding on a foal of a donkey? What right do you have to cleanse the temple, to kick out all of our money changers? By the way, it was their money changers, because it was from them they were receiving all the funds. What authority do you have, Jesus, to wear a rabbi's shawl? What authority do you have, Jesus, to raise Lazarus from the dead? Where do you get this authority? He gets it from the Word. They should have known this. They have the Word. They have the Torah. They have the prophets. All they had to do was read it. It's right there. It shows them. It tells them what the Messiah is about to do. And He's doing it because He has the authority to do it. Jesus has the authority to judge and to declare innocent. So it is by faith. It is by faith that you know the answer, even though He didn't give the answer to the Sanhedrin. You know the answer. It's the answer that the Pharisees could not understand, because even though they had eyes, they were blind. And even though they had ears, they were deaf. John's baptism was from heaven. Jesus is from heaven, because Jesus is the Messiah, because Jesus is God. The Father called John and sent him to baptize sinners and to prepare the way of the Lord. And so at Jesus' baptism by John, the Father and the Holy Spirit manifest themselves. The Holy Spirit lighting on Jesus in the form of the dove and anointed Him as the Messiah. And then the voice from heaven, confirming that Jesus is about to fulfill his plan of salvation, your plan, your salvation, the plan that he set in place at the very beginning. And so in you, God is well pleased. Timothy, today, the Lord is well pleased in you. He has come to you, and he has washed you. He has put you to death and rose, and has raised you to newness of life. He is well pleased. Today, we heard and we saw the Lord at work. This is the Lord's work. It wasn't Tim's work. It wasn't my work. This is the work of the Holy Triune God. It is he who proclaimed today that there is a man who was dead, but now he lives. There is a man who knew not him, but now he knows him. God knows him as his son, as his child. The Lord of the church will not cast his pearls before swine. The gospel is free, and it is free indeed, and it is of great value. Indeed, the gospel is salutary. It is saving. It is healing. It is life-giving. It is death-defeating. It brings forgiveness and life. So lastly, forgiveness and life are yours, dear one. As the saving fruits of Jesus, his death and his resurrection are delivered to you. Here in this place, here in this place, you hear his life-giving word. Here in this place, you have seen him come to a man and give him newness of life. Here in this place, you stand and receive body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of your faith unto life and salvation. This is the authority that Jesus has. And you know it. You believe it. You take hold of it. You know that he is worthy because he has showed himself to be worthy. He has proven that he is worthy, for he is the very Lamb of God who has taken away the sin, your sin, the sin of the world. Thanks be to Jesus, for he is the worthy one, and he has all authority on earth and in heaven. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.